Beaumarchais by Craig Warner, with Henry Goodman as Beaumarchais. Episode 2, Cause Célèbre.
Take out your sword, sir. My own sword hungers for the taste of treasonous flesh.
That will I do, for virtue is as sour to my palate as vice is to yours.
En garde, villain.
The clash of swords. The duke advances. He lunges. The villain parries. He attacks. And the villain cries out. And the duke drives his blade home.
I am done in by my own evil. And now I die. I die. I die.
Wonderful, Monsieur de Beaumarchais. Your talents have no end.
None, madame, when they may be used in your service.
Come and kiss your father, my dear girl. I never knew you had such talents for the stage.
We don't, dear papa. It's the play that shows the skill. Indeed, it acts itself. Monsieur de Beaumarchais has taught us much that will serve us in our playing.
How to speak the words as if they were fresh invented in our brains.
How to change our faces to suit the phrase.
When we are angry, our features should be near the middle of the face.
When we are happy, they should be more spread out.
When we're in love, we must play with our hands.
When we are sad, we must wet our eyes with saliva when the audience's heads are turned.
These arts will serve you not just as actresses, but as women.
Was the piece displeasing to your majesty? I wrote it for your pleasure, and yet you've said nothing.
Oh, very fine. Very fine, Beaumarchais. Its brevity was in its favour.
Oh, I thank you.
I prefer music myself, and I owe you a debt for your excellent teaching. Since you came to Versailles, my Sophie's flute is much improved. And Adelaide has never touched the harp and made such a sound. You've put music in them, sir.
The princesses were born full of music. And for that, no man can take the credit.
Oh, you're far too modest. Therefore, I think we should eat.
Oh.
Excellent, my dear. Excellent.
The death scene was exceedingly well played.
Monsieur de Beaumarchais. You seem to have a turn for every art invented, and probably a few that aren't.
It's the few that aren't that must be practiced with caution.
You remind me of myself as a young man.
Oh, you do me honour.
No, I invented nothing new, nor was I skilled in music, poetry, or the arts of the stage.
These are mere divertissements, Monsieur Duvernay, meant only to engage me until I profit by something more sensible. But you are my true hero.
Nonsense.
It's true. Your work as an entrepreneur has inspired the ambitious all over France. Myself in particular, and in industry, there isn't a thing that I couldn't learn from you.
Then learn this. I have enemies, as all successful men do, but I have learned to dull my colours when they pass. You should learn to do the same.
It's true. Not all the men at court seem equally taken by me.
And the women?
Their appreciation seems unanimous.
Another strike against you.
Even the Princess Adelaide, although she's only 17, seems prepared to take my harp instruction into the night.
Let nothing like that ever come out of your mouth again if you wish to remain welcome at Versailles.
Oh. Well, I'll take your advice.
Your place here is insecure. You're not from one of the old families, so the nobles will disdain you as much as you threaten them. But do not attract their approval by imitating their mediocrity.
I thank you for taking an interest in my welfare.
Perhaps you can help me as well.
Where I can, I will.
My enterprises are frozen. I'm worn through, and though I have assets, I have no energy left. Think of something you'd like to do, and we'll work something out.
Anything at all.
You've told me you have no more interest in making watches.
Oh, no. No. I wish to do something for my fellow authors.
Do you have anyone in mind?
Monsieur Rousseau.
I should have guessed.
But he can't get published.
Not in France.
It's a disgrace.
He's considered enlightened.
All the more reason to make his voice heard.
Our French fathers can feel the roots of their tree beginning to tremble.
And so they forbid us to publish his works in France.
They force good thinking underground.
But with a bit of discretion, we can bring Monsieur Rousseau out of the darkness and into the light.
The discretion will have to be yours, Beaumarchais. I know nothing of it.
Papa, I need a favour.
Oh, yes?
I need to use your workshop. I need to turn it into a print room.
What? A
print room with printing presses.
That's right.
That's the only workshop we've got.
But we don't need it for making watches anymore, Papa. And now we have a chance to make some real money.
I'm happy as I am.
Well, I'm not happy as I am. You must make room for the young.
Well, what do you want to print?
The works of Rousseau.
Well, his works are banned.
Only in France.
But this is France.
Well, I'll be careful.
You'll be thrown into the Bastille for life.
Well, if that happens, at least I'll know I fell furthering the cause of enlightened thought.
No enlightened thought has ever changed the world. It just gets people burned, that's all.
I will not be burned. I'll be a hero. They'll write songs about me. Oh, I'll write songs about me. But first, I need your workshop.
I will not help you to publish work that inspires insurrection.
You've never even read his work.
Well, I've heard it. His words are on the insurgent's lips.
Look, there's a lot of misinformation about enlightened thinking. Look, let's just calm down, and I'll show you some actual Rousseau.
You have some? In this house?
Of course. How can I publish it if I don't have the text? Now, here we are. Now tell me, if you find this in the least bit offensive... The first man who, after enclosing a piece of ground, took it into his head to say, "This is mine," and found people simple enough to believe him, was the true founder of civilized society. How many horrors could have been saved the human species if someone had replied, "Do not listen to this imposter. You are lost if you forget that the fruits of the earth belong equally to us all, and the earth itself to nobody." See?
Let me see that. We may say to the wealthy, who traced it out for you, this property? Was it not you alone? And what right have you to expect payment from us for doing what we never asked you to do?
That is not characteristic of him.
You should have had the express and unanimous consent of mankind to take more of the common good than is required to keep yourselves alive.
He means that metaphorically.
Don't you know that numbers of your fellow countrymen are dying for want of what you have too much of?
The language is poetic. We mustn't leap to conclusions about its meaning.
Well, where are you going to get the money for the presses?
I'm going to be backed by Monsieur Paris Duvernay.
Get away.
It's true. We know each other well. He speaks to me as a father might. Might. If he were as good a father as you.
Don't try to soften me up. Paris Duvernay is going to back you 100%?
Well, no. I have to come up with half the money myself, but he's going to pay for distribution.
Well, where are you going to get half the money up front?
I have an idea.
Monsieur de Beaumarchais.
Yes, madame?
Oh, please, call me Adelaide. No one's here.
Yes, Adelaide.
Do we have to work on the harp this morning?
Well, what would you like to do instead?
Something frivolous.
The harp can be frivolous.
Well, something really frivolous.
Like playing croquet?
Croquet? I might as well curl up and expire.
Oh, I wouldn't do that.
I want to do something we've never done before.
There's nothing that I haven't done before.
Oh, I know. You've lived a life of adventure. Now that I've heard your stories, life at Versailles seems so dull. How you served in a Swiss army sailing the seven seas.
Oh, that was years ago.
How in Africa you strangled a lion with your watch fob.
It was lucky I had it on me.
And all the members of humanity who've been helped by your deeds. That tribe in India who were destined for eternal damnation until you stepped off the boat, tamed them, taught them French, baptized them, and gave them clothes all on the same afternoon.
It was summer. The days were long.
I want to see the world through your eyes. I want to know the things you know.
Shall we sit down, madame? Adelaide.
Yes.
You know, in all my days upon this earth, in all my travels, and with all my wisdom, I have never found a deed to be so gratifying as an act of charity.
Is that so?
Oh, nothing so adventurous, nothing so mystifying as seeing a pair of eyes tear up, certain, finally certain that there is a God.
Why then don't we turn our hearts to an act of charity?
Well, if that is your disposition, you're very like me.
Oh, I know I am. What should we do?
We simply sift the world for unfortunate souls. When we find some, we give them what we have so much of.
And what's that?
Money, my dear.
Do you know any good causes?
Well, there is one that has attracted my attention of late.
Which one is that?
It's a home for nursing mothers.
A home for nursing mothers?
Mm.
Why don't they go back to their own homes?
Oh, because they don't have any.
What happened to them?
Oh, some women have been abandoned by soldiers. Some women have been widowed and their houses burned down. Some women have had the will of men forced upon them. Oh. And to some unfortunate girls, all of these things have happened.
You mean their houses have burned down, mm-hmm, and they have been abandoned by soldiers, widowed and violated, all at the same time?
For some poor creatures, this is a daily occurrence.
They must have their home.
Well, the home for nursing mothers is closing down for lack of funds.
No, I want to help them.
But can you afford it?
How much will it cost?
15,000 livres.
15,000? I only have 5. Or 10, I don't know. How much is a livre?
Oh, almost nothing, madame.
I'll ask father for it.
No, you mustn't tell him what it's for.
Why not?
Well, that wouldn't be very adventurous, would it?
No. I'll tell him I lost it at cards. He'll take that as a sign of my maturity.
Oh, good idea.
Oh, monsieur, may I call you by your Christian name?
I don't have one.
You don't have one?
We were poor.
Oh, you poor thing. I'll call you Bobo.
No, don't do that.
Bobo.
No,
Bobo.
Adelaide? Mimi wants you in for the morning reading.
Coming.
Hello, Monsieur de Beaumarchais.
Madame.
It's time for our lesson, isn't it?
We have 5 more minutes yet.
You don't look like you're working on the harp.
We're doing theory. Now, will you get out? Oh, she's so young. She doesn't understand anything.
Papa! Look. Now, don't touch. They're still wet from the presses.
Well, you're not going to keep them in the house, are you?
Don't worry. Most of them are in the workshop. I just brought one box inside so that I can flick through them at my leisure and offer them with a wink to enlightened visitors.
Put them in a cupboard. Put them away.
Oh, I'll keep them in here. I'll just take one with me.
For what?
For Monsieur Duvernay.
Don't leave me with them.
Oh, they have no teeth, Father. Only the sharp teeth of the illuminated mind.
What does that mean? And don't call me Father. When you're in a good mood, you always go up a class.
Yes, my lord?
I wish to see Monsieur Duvernay.
You can't, I'm afraid.
Well, why not?
He's dead, sir.
Dead?
Dead, sir.
But he died so quickly.
Not quite, sir. It took him more than 80 years to do it.
Who's that?
Who are you, sir?
My name is Beaumarchais.
Ah, good Beaumarchais. Do come in for a moment and help me toast the old man's honour.
You have my condolences.
Honestly, I don't mind a bit. We were not close to each other. And I have debts. Debts for money I have already spent and debts of the future for money I plan to spend. I'd rather count it on his passing. Your health.
My health.
You've come to tell me that my uncle was in your debt, have you not? By approximately 15,000 livres.
You've seen the contracts.
I found them in his study. He owes you 50% of 30,000 livres for the purchase of, how was it worded, miscellaneous goods and sundry items for an unspecified enterprise in which you and he were partners. Is that roughly it?
The contracts were worded in such a way as to protect the confidentiality of the enterprise.
I guessed as much.
I trust you'll have no difficulty of paying the debt.
That's an interesting point, Beaumarchais.
How interesting?
Can you tell me precisely what was the nature of this enterprise?
I'm afraid I can't.
Can you tell me nothing whatever about this project that I'm meant to subsidize?
It's not you who were meant to subsidize it at all. The money was spent while your uncle was alive.
But it wasn't. That is your problem, isn't it?
I have his signature on the contract.
I'm not at all convinced that you do.
I have a copy.
Yes, but of what? I've seen the old man's hand 1,000 times, and that signature does not look like his.
Who do you think signed it?
You, for instance. It doesn't matter.
Are you accusing me of forgery?
It is convenient for me to do so.
But you don't believe it yourself.
That's hardly the point. I've never approved of my uncle's shady dealings with the underclass.
But my name...
Yes, Beaumarchais, isn't it? Or is it Carroll? You go by so many names, it's difficult to know exactly whom to accuse of the fraud.
You're dishonouring his name by not honouring his debts.
You latch onto men like him and drain them of his worth.
I have achieved my standing by my industry, while you...
Yes?
You had only to be born, and without lifting a finger or straining your cunning a wink, you could laze in the same sun that brought sweat to your fellows' brows, while their wage was three-quarters robbed off them in order to fatten you up.
All the more reason to delight in your failure. What will France be when a cherished family is bowed to the industrious poor?
A place where compassion is sovereign over the lust for wealth, and where men weep for each other's deaths, rather than celebrating them with the funds of their bequest.
I have cause to celebrate. His death means that you get pulled apart and I get to watch, and that makes me glad. Oh, and where did you get your share of the money? Will it be inconvenient that you'll now be unable to pay it back?
That's it. I want satisfaction from you now.
Oh, deal.
I want you to defend your honour, sir, or to go through the motions, because clearly you have no honour to defend.
Are you proposing a duel?
I am proposing nothing. I am demanding.
A deal. Did you hear that?
I did, my lord.
What did he say?
He's demanding a duel, my lord.
Fortuitous to have a witness, wouldn't you say, Beaumarchais? Didn't you know dueling was against the law?
Pierre?
Oh, Papa.
Councillor Guzman won't see me.
What? He's got to see you. He's pleading my case.
He won't admit me into his home.
He's been bribed by La Blanche.
Bribed?
Yes, of course. The judicial system is cemented together by sticky coins. What have you got?
Got?
To give him.
Well, nothing at all.
Well, you must have something, a trinket, anything that'll persuade him to see me.
I really have nothing.
Well, your watch.
My watch? Well, the watch your mother gave me when we were married.
It's worth something.
It's worth a lot, but only to me.
It's got some gold in it.
Your mother gave it to me.
Do you want me to end up in the pillory?
Is there nothing else at all?
They'll brand me, Papa. I need your help.
Oh, my son. When are you going to lead a quiet life?
5 minutes.
I beg your pardon?
You have 5 minutes of my time. This is hardly the most important case of my books.
I wish to clarify some facts about my relationship with Monsieur Duvernay.
I am well informed about this relationship.
Informed by whom?
By the Count.
Well, he knows nothing of it.
He knows less of his uncle's affairs than you do.
Our negotiations were conducted in private.
And what proof do you have that these negotiations ever took place?
There are documents to support my word.
Such as?
The contract.
I'm not surprised that it supports your word when you composed it.
I did compose it because Duvernay could no longer write.
So you signed it for him as well?
To believe La Blanche and not me is to believe something much more far-fetched than what I claim.
Wrong. It's much easier to believe you guilty of a crime than La Blanche. He's a man of considerable standing, and therefore his case looks good.
Oh, that's the formula, is it?
Let me lay it on the line for you, Monsieur de Beaumarchais. There isn't a thing you could say to me now that will change the way I represent the case before the magistrates. So why should we waste each other's valuable time? You have several days to prepare your defense. Exploit them.
You are meant to be a champion of justice.
But Parlement is made up of men. We cannot give justice. We are not God. We are not without our appetites, our passions, our tastes. We preserve what we feel needs preserving. The Comte de La Blanche needs preserving. You do not.
The question is, have I or have I not committed forgery?
That is not the question, Monsieur de Beaumarchais. You are naive to think that it is.
I'd like my father's watch back.
I can no longer hear you, Monsieur de Beaumarchais. Your 5 minutes are up.
Stop pacing.
I am not going to let them get away with this.
What are you going to do?
I'm thinking.
Well, thinking won't get you anywhere.
The justice system gives us no justice. So what do we do? To whom do we turn?
Who else is there?
Even the king sustains this corrupt specimen of a parliament.
Oh, he wasn't like this before.
The old parliament was fair. The old parliament was just.
Well, now they've all been sent away.
And this mockery convened instead.
No one likes the new parliament.
Except the new parliament.
Oh, who could possibly hear one's appeal?
Only everyone else.
Everyone else?
Hmm?
That's it. There are only so many magistrates and counts and nobles. I suspect there are 100 French citizens for every one of them.
At least.
And they are the ones that we have to reach.
How?
The printing presses. We have our own printing presses.
So what are you going to write?
I'll write a pamphlet. I'll call it Memoirs of an Innocent Man. It will strip the justice system bare before the eyes of the people. I'll print 1,000. No, 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 no. 10,000. And I'll give them to everyone I know, to everyone I meet, everyone I see. I'll give bundles to children to pass out in the streets. I'll put one under every door, under every cafe table. I'll hang them in the trees and float them in the river. We've got to get started. We've got no time at all.
Yes, but what are you going to say?
I'll tell the truth. I'll tell the whole story, Father. You saw Gersman yourself. Were not his eyes two great bulges, no doubt swollen forever from searching for gold in men's teeth?
They were. Put that in.
His hand has been greased so many times, he couldn't lift a glass to his mouth without it falling and shattering on the floor.
Put that in.
And doesn't his parlement clang with so much gold beneath their robes that they can't even hear the cases before them and have to attempt instead to read their counsellor's lips?
It does. Put that in.
Father, you're willing to help me?
Yes.
Well, you've never been on my side before.
I am this time.
Well, why?
Because that bastard has my watch.
Why is everyone applauding?
Because you've arrived, old son. You're the guest of honour.
I didn't even know it.
Neither did I until just now, and what a very good idea it is.
I've never been given such a reception.
Nobody knew, nobody at all.
Knew what?
That you had such a comic gift.
Oh, modesty forbids my taking it out in public.
Meet the Duchesse de Polignac.
Is this the great Beaumarchais? You're too witty for words. Honestly, the first time I read your memoirs, I laughed so hard, I think I tore something inside me.
It was here, was it not, madame?
Oh, you're quite right. Yes, it was here. You read it yourself.
One cannot take credit for the playing when the wit of the text is so sharp.
When are you going to write us another?
You must write a play for the Théâtre Français. I do a bit of playing myself, as the good madame will tell you.
Oh, do say you'll write a play for our friend Artois. They'll be queuing up for tickets before you finish the last scene.
I dare say, with your current fame.
Fame?
Even the king is treated to a page or two every night. Madame de Pompadour herself insists on reading them to him.
I've heard translations of your memoir have been done for the Austrian court.
And for Spain.
And England. You do know that our own poor have rather misunderstood your work.
Oh, leave it to them.
The magistrates at Parlement have had grave difficulty even entering the building this week. Stones have been thrown and curses. The mass has grown quite out of order.
Oh, it's worse than that. The new Parlement's disbanded.
Is that so?
Their houses were torn apart by the public's bare hands. Gersman himself has fled Paris, and from what I hear, he just escaped with all his bits intact.
And what about Lablache?
The sheer embarrassment drove him out. Bets are that he's got himself off to some miserable little country with bad weather. England, we think.
Then who is to try me tomorrow if the new Parlement are no more?
The old Parlement. They've reconvened today by order of the king.
Whoever said comedy never changed the world, eh, my friend? Ladies and gentlemen, please, I have two things to announce to you all. First, Monsieur de Beaumarchais has agreed to write a comedy for our theatre. And secondly, by popular demand, the good fellow is going to do us a bit from his memoir. Beaumarchais, over to you.
Who, me? Oh, modesty forbids. Where shall I stand?
Would Pierre Augustin Caron de Beaumarchais please rise? Firstly, but by no means of sole importance, the court finds you innocent of the charges levelled against you by Monsieur le Comte de Lablache.
Thank you, President Dupont.
However, we deem your contract with Monsieur Duvernay to be null and void.
Oh, but surely, Monsieur...
Silence. You have behaved in a manner which many would consider scandalous. By writing your pamphlet, these memoirs, you have created havoc in a number of households, disharmony in prisons, and violence in the streets and taverns. Though we at this court are in sympathy with many of your sentiments, we cannot sanction a member of our society playing the vigilante and taking the law into his own hands. Have you anything to say about this?
Though my pamphlet was based on true events and betrayed my own genuine thoughts, they were styled in such a way as to be primarily amusing, which I thought would render them innocuous.
Anger dressed up as humour is never innocuous. In fact, in this case, it became a best-seller. Therefore, it is the judgment of this court that Pierre Augustin Caron de Beaumarchais shall be deprived of all civil rights until such time as services to his country and the crown and activities reflecting a moderation of temper and attitude are undertaken or performed such that these activities redefine him as a citizen and encourage the court to see that such rights be restored.
Monsieur the
Prince. You may step down.
Ah, Monsieur de Beaumarchais.
Oh, Madame Adelaide.
Where have you been? You've missed several of our lessons.
I've been out of the country. The King of Spain required my ambassadorial skills.
Another adventure, eh, Monsieur?
Oh, it never stops.
What a lucky man you are to lead a life of such unceasing sport. Perhaps you could teach me to live in such a manner.
I'm sure I could.
Perhaps you could teach me now.
The King, your father, is rather expecting some progress to be made on the harp.
Oh, well, we'll just have to disappoint him then, won't we? Sophie?
I'm here.
Oh, Madame, Sophie.
Shut the door. Now lock it. You know, I've always liked you, Beaumarchais.
So have I.
Two young, bored, inexperienced girls like us could hardly wait till your next visit.
Planning what impressive things we'd say the next time we met you, making adversaries of each other in our silly jealousies.
Oh, my dear Sophie.
Until we discovered it only made sense to join forces.
Monsieur, or maybe now call you Pierre, to what use have you put my father's 15,000 livres?
It was invested in a home for nursing mothers.
And that 15,000 livres had nothing to do with your affair with the Comte de la Blache?
Oh, you heard about that.
Not everything escapes our notice.
Not everything escapes.
It would be a shame if my father found out that it was my money you invested in that foolish enterprise.
He'd think you were very naughty indeed.
So we have a proposal for you.
A deal to strike.
We're bored.
And inexperienced.
And we like you, Monsieur de Beaumarchais. We like you very much.
In Beaumarchais by Craig Warner, Henry Goodman played Beaumarchais. Ronald Pickup was Louis XV. Colleen Prendergast, Princess Adelaide, and Amanda Gordon, Princess Sophie. Hugh Ross was Guzman, Anne Beach, Madame de Pompadour and Odile, and Sean Baker, Le Comte d'Artois and Duvernay. Stephen Thorne played Beaumarchais' father, David Bannerman, the Comte de la Blache and President du Paty, and Joanna Munro, the Duchesse de Polignac. The director was Marion Nancarrow.